When you look at the Word, you see how God always gets us not only to focus on what we have now and what is available to us now, but shows us the promises of things to come. You know, for us, it's our hope, you know, of Christ's return. For the Old Testament believers, it was the hope of the coming of the Messiah for them. And, you know, ultimately, God's plan will be carried out completely. You know, we have so much to look forward to in light of God's promises. And that's why God so many times encourages us to keep our eyes on His promises. In 2 Peter, you know, in light of all of the prophecies in the Bible regarding the end times, the return of Christ, and you know, the tribulation period and all those things that are set into motion after Jesus Christ's return. Even in light of all those things, all those perhaps negative things that are in store for people who don't believe, everywhere in the Word of God that it's brought up to the believer in light of the hope that they have, in light of the reality that they don't have to be concerned about that stuff. Because in Christ, we are saved. We have salvation in Him. Because we believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that God raised Him from the dead, we have made Him our Lord and our Savior. We've confessed Him, Jesus, as Lord. He's our Master. He's the one we follow. We believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. We shall be saved. We have salvation. It is promised to us. So all of those things that are spoken of in the Word of God regarding the people who don't believe, we're not to be worried about. And everywhere you see it mentioned, it's not in light of any kind of fear toward you and me, the believer. It's in light of the encouragement that we've escaped it all. We've been brought out of that. We've been raised together, ascended together, seated together with Christ in the heavenlies, as it says in Ephesians. So what does that stuff have to do with us? Nothing. We're already seated. See? We're already seated. And in light of those great truths and the great prophecies of that, never are we to be fearful. Ever. Don't have to be afraid. See? And that's part of what 2 Peter is all about. You know, 2 Peter and 2 Timothy are very similar in some respects. 2 Timothy is addressed to leaders in light of all the negatives, all the walking away from the truth that people will do, and what to do as a leader in the midst of it. Peter, 2 Peter, is written to the born-again believers, those that have obtained like precious faith, in light of all the stuff that's going to happen. People are going to walk away. People are going to do some really stupid stuff. But you, as a faithful believer, you don't have to be concerned. You just stay put. You stay put. That's why it opens up the way it does in 2 Peter. And I wanted to read some of this because it's set in a great context. In 2 Peter 1, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you," verse 2 says, "through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." You know, grace and peace is multiplied unto you. The peace that you have is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the knowledge of that, knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, that we have grace and peace multiplied unto us. See, grace, when you read grace in the Bible, you know that it means divine favor. You know that it also refers to the administration that we live in, the administration of grace. That which, you know, Patty mentioned, you know, we don't know how long this period of time is going to last. Nobody does. And if they tell you they do, they're deluded. See? No one knows that. What we do know is that we are in this period of time where God's grace abounds, where no longer are we under the law for our righteousness, where we have been given it by grace. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ by grace. See? And also, grace is, it's not only just an administration. It's not only just God's, a description of God and how He favors you and I, and all men, really. I mean, grace is not just an administration. You know, God's unmerited favor has always been shown throughout all the ages. It just so happens that we live in an administration that is governed by grace. See, it was grace that God called Abraham. It was by grace that God called Noah. It was by grace that God told Moses what to do. It was all by unmerited favor. All of it. You know, all that anything, all that God has done for any man has been by His favor. You know, and all of us benefit from that through Jesus Christ. But it's also, grace is also where we stand in this grace, right? It says in Ephesians, we stand in grace and we can come to know what it means to be favored by God and live in that each and every day of our lives. That's what God desires for us, is to know what it means to be favored by God, to live our lives that way, to experience the grace of God. Not just to know it, but to experience it day by day. According, verse 3 says, as His divine power hath given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Everything that's needed to live life in a godly way, in a way that so enriches your life because of your relationship with God. Because that's what godliness is. It's not religion. It's not a form, an outward form. It's a relationship with God that's real. That's what godliness is. In the Bible, that's the definition of the word. It's set in contrast to the word for religion. You know, He's given us everything we need to live. Everything that we need to live a relationship with Him. To have a relationship with Him. And it is through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. He's called us to glory, you know, and virtue, you know, and exceeding excellence. You know. Virtue. You know, what are, you know what the word virtue means? Right? We've heard that term. Yeah. He has virtues. He has many virtues. What are they? Well, it's certainly not lying. That's not a very good virtue. You know, when we speak of virtue, we think of good things. Good things. Admirable things. Noble things. God has called us to that. He has equipped us with the ability to do it. He's given us everything that we need to live that way because He's called us to that. So the only thing that prohibits us from living in it is our own choice, our own decision, our own freedom of will. Just like Adam and Eve, free choice. Live here in this beautiful place. Do what I've asked you to do. Don't do this though. Very simple. Now, it's your choice. They made the wrong choice. They chose to think that God didn't know what He was talking about. That's the same thing with us. Has He given us all things pertaining to life and godliness? So that we can live every day knowing the grace of God. We can. He's given it to us. Given us the privilege to walk in that. Because He's called us to. He's made us His sons and daughters. So that we could glorify Him just like His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, glorified Him. It's so huge. It's so big. And yet people never see the hugeness and the bigness, the awesomeness of what God has done for each and every believer in Christ. What God has done for them. They're always focused on what they need to do. What do I need to do to be worthy of this? And I better start doing it because I have a fear of what happens if I don't. God has said, no, you don't need to be afraid of anything. I've called you to glory and virtue. I've given you everything you need to live life as my son, as my daughter, and have a relationship with me. Godliness. I want you to know my favor. I want you to experience it. Because that's what knowledge is. Knowledge is the Greek word epignosis. It comes from two words. Right? The root is gnosis. It means an experiential knowledge. Not just to know head in your head that, yes, grace is divine, unmerited favor. It says so in Ephesians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. It's more than that. It's to know it by experience, to know that God favors you. God has done you a favor today. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the day before, the day before, the day before, the day before. And He'll do you more favors tomorrow. And the rest of today. Today is not even half over. It's to know it by experience. But we don't know it by experience until we walk in the awareness of it, in knowing it within our heart. See? When we know it in our heart, in our mind, and we accept it with faith, then we begin to experience it day by day. That's what God desires for us to know. That's why that grace and peace is multiplied as we experience the knowledge of God and His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And verse 4 continues, it says, whereby are given unto us, whereby all these things that we have a knowledge of Him are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might partake in that divine nature, that we might be partners together in this divine nature. We have a divine nature. It's not just five senses flesh anymore. It's not just I am, you know, the son of my mommy and daddy. I am the son of the Almighty God. And I have a divine nature that I can partake in. You know, what was, you know, Jesus Christ had a divine nature. He was the Son of God. He had certain benefits because of that. Didn't he? He had certain authority because of that. And so do we. And it's by those promises that are so exceeding great and precious, costly. They're very costly. It took a lot for God to fulfill this. And it says that it's in Christ that all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. They are established. Right? It says that in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that there, that all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. They're established. Every promise God's ever made to anyone, established. So all the promises He's made to you and to me, established. And they're exceeding great and precious. It's not just a normal thing for God to say, you're more than a conqueror. That's not just, you know, off the cuff. You're more than a conqueror. And all these things, you're more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. Nakedness, peril, sword, conflict, famine. All those things, you're more than a conqueror. Right? That's an exceeding great promise. To be able to do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. Oh, that exceeds great. That kind of a promise. And yet, we've been enabled, we've been equipped to do that. And it's because of those that we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, right? We've escaped it. We've escaped it. We've been plucked out. You know, so all this negativity in the world, all the disasters, all that junk that happens in the world does not have to make you fearful. You can be concerned about it. You don't have to be fearful about it. Because we're given this because God desires for us to walk in His grace, walk in what He has provided for us. You know, be that son or daughter of the Most High God. Don't just be Paul in the flesh, Vita in the flesh. Be that son, that daughter of the Most High God. You start by your relationship with Him. And I'll show you that. It says so. That's what godliness is, right? He's called us unto that. So, besides all this, verse 5 says, giving all diligence. Now, because of those first few verses we read, you should be willing to really put forth some effort here. And now it's going to show you what you're to put effort into. It's not in polishing up your flesh. That's what it's not, and you'll see that. It says, you're to add your faith. You believe these things, don't you? You believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that God raised Him from the dead. You believe that. I believe that. We all believe that. We believe that God Almighty is over all. He's the Creator. We believe that. We believe that He has divine power and He's presented to us certain promises that exceed great and precious. Okay, now, take that faith and add something to it. Mm-hmm. What are you going to add to that?
Yeah.
Well, what you add to it, it says, it lists a couple of things here. And they're wonderful. Because it says, add to your faith. Now, this is something you do with diligence, right? With a concerted effort to really put some effort into this. It's about your whole attitude of your heart. You add to your faith virtue. Virtue is a moral goodness or excellence. You know, it's having something on the inside of you that says no to evil. No to stuff that's contrary to the Word of God. It's having it within you. This is not something you do on the outside. This is what happens within you when you recognize the greatness of the grace of God that you and I can live in day by day. That all the promises He's ever made are established now in Christ. That we can know by experience these things, not just have a awareness in our minds about them, but know them by experience. Because every time we believe the Word of God, every time we believe a promise, do we not see it come to pass? Yes, that's why we have such great thanksgiving toward God. Because when we believe Him on a certain instance, we see Him come through. God, I prayed for this and You gave it to me. You answered my prayer. The doctors told me I had cancer. I came to You and You delivered me of that. I'm healed. How come? They don't know, but I know. It's Your power that's done this for me. You told me I could speak in tongues and speak the wonderful works of God in a language that I have no idea what I'm talking about. If I would just do it. And I went to You and I said, God, if You say I can. Thank You for empowering me to do it. And then I opened my mouth and out came the wonderful works of God in a tongue that I know not. Speak in tongues. Every time we believe the promise of God, God backs it up. That's why within us, we begin to change. We begin to say, all right, I'm going to say no to all this stuff that's a lie, all this stuff that's contrary to God's Word. I say no to it. I say no. That's virtue. That's what He's called us to. So add that to your faith. Add that to your life. You know, and it's something that's within. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. Gnosis is the Greek word. It's not that full. It's that knowing. It's that just coming to know by experience each and every promise. Each and every promise. Has God made you a promise for health? For abundance, for blessings. Claim those promises. See them. And with each promise comes the knowing. Add that to your faith. See, this is something that happens within the heart of an individual. It's between the ears. It's not an outward walk. It's not an outward form of holiness. Piety. Oh, I'm so pious. No, it's something that you add to your faith, and faith is in here. It's within the heart of a man. It's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Right? And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-control. Why are you able to have self-control? Have a little control over yourself, your mind, your thoughts, your actions. Well, because you've added to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And so that brings that ability to control your thinking. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And patience, you know, is more than just being patient. It's enduring through it. It's not allowing yourself to veer off course. You know, it's having a steadfast endurance to stay put on the things of God in your life. Knowing that there's going to be great reward in that. And to patience, godliness. More godliness. Godliness is that relationship with God. Remember, that's what He's called us to. That's what He's equipped us to live. Having a relationship with God. Something that's real, that when you ask Him something, He answers you. He speaks loudly to you. Clearly to you. He can. He will. It's like what Patty shared about Daniel and his associates. Why were they able to receive such great revelation when they really needed it? Because they went to God. They went to Him and pleaded that He would give to them what they needed. You know, it's recognizing that, man, as we go to God with great eagerness for Him to work in our lives, then He will. And we will have a relationship with Him. We can have a relationship with Him. He has promised it. He has said that's what He wants. That's the whole design of salvation, is to have children to fellowship with. You're His child. Fellowship with Him. Share your heart with Him. Talk things over with Him. Cast all your care upon Him, for knowing that He cares for you. That's having a relationship with Him. Speak in tongues and praise Him perfectly. We're to add those things. Is that now, has anything at all had to do with anybody other than you and God so far? No. Many people will look at that and say, just be a virtuous person. Just be a good person. No, it's not about that. It's about what happens within you. To make that decision within you to say no to that junk that's contrary to the Word. I need to know His Word. I need to know each and every promise by experience. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. That's what I'm diligent about every day. I'm diligent about being steadfast in that, controlling myself, having self-control, controlling my thinking, like it says in Corinthians, right? Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Those are the things I'm diligent upon. Why? Because that leads me to that place of having a relationship with God that's real, that's true, that's vital, alive. That's not just something that I hear someone else talking about. It's something that I have, that we each have. A relationship with God. It's all about you and the Father. And then he says, once you get that straight, once you have that, you can begin to add to that brotherly kindness. Phileo is the Greek word. Brotherly kindness. Just brotherly affection. Just being nice to the person next to you. And to that, take it a step further, because you have this relationship with God. He's your Father. He works with you, and now you can begin to manifest that same love He has for you to others. Where it says, to brotherly kindness, charity. The love of God, agape. It's not just charity, like we think of charity, but the love of God. Right? Not only do we behave ourselves to our brother and, you know, or people around us with brotherly love, but with the love of God. And it's, you can't get to that place where you're relating to other people until your relationship with God is right. You can never, ever expect to walk this way toward other people without having your relationship with God the way it needs to be. You know, you heard it said before, I remember it many, many years ago. You know, it's when your verticals are right, your horizontals will take care of themselves.
Fall right in line. Right?
When you and the Father are in fellowship, when you and the Father have that relationship, when you're diligent about guarding your heart and being that man or that woman that God has called you to be, to live with the power of God, to live as a son or a daughter of God, the Most High, to prove each and every promise that He's made to you, to know it by experience. Boy, you have that relationship with God and it's right and it is whole. Then you can behave in a kind way to your brother. And further, you can really exhibit the love of God. It's not before. See, he brings that up at the end. See? And then it says, for if these things be in you, if these things be in you, not on you, not, you know, it's in you. These things are really in your heart. If you're diligent towards these things, to build that relationship with God that He's called you to. And abound. You know, that it's not just something you do one day and forget about it for the rest of the week. You know, they're in you and abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither barren nor unfruitful.
Wow.
You know? These are the things that we strive to do. This is what we strive to do. In the midst, and again, when you read through chapter 2 of Peter, you see it speaking of all the negative stuff and the false prophets and what they cause and all that, blah, blah, blah. But he starts out with, okay, now let's just start with you. Let's just start with you, the believer, and your relationship with God and your diligence to really work that in your life. Because it's God in Christ in you. And God will be at work within you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So that's the kind of stuff we're diligent toward. It's just me and you, Father. And then all the rest of the stuff will work out. And I won't be barren. I won't be unfruitful. I'll see the fruits of my righteousness day by day. I will walk in that great grace of God, that unmerited favor, day by day. I'll see it in my life. I'll see it. I'll know it. Then I'll know it. I won't just know it in between my ears. I'll know it in my life by experience. And then he says, if you lack these things, you just got your eyes closed. You're blind. Cannot see afar off and have forgotten that you're purged from your old sins. You know, you forgot. You forgot what this is all about. Where did it start? Jesus Christ paid a price for you. He gave His life for you. Why? Because you couldn't pay it yourself. Okay, great. Don't forget that. If you do forget it, you'll never be diligent to take advantage of this life that God has called you and made available for you to live. A life which is about godliness, a relationship with Him. Not about showing anybody else anything, but about you and the Father first. Then it's easy for phileo and agape. You have to have that first. And the whole motive, this is great, because this is the whole motive. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. You'll never fall. If you don't do these things, you'll stumble around in the dark like a blind man, right? For so an entrance, verse 11 says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not talking about your salvation. It's talking about when Jesus Christ returns and we're gathered together with Him, how are we brought in to this great kingdom? It says here that it's ministered unto you abundantly. Some other translation says that they'll bring you in superabundantly. See? It's like it's about motive and reward. It's about having praise of God. Right? You see it other places in the Word. It's, you know, it's like, what if He were to come today? What if we knew He was coming at 5 p.m. today? What would we be doing? Would we be out thinking about, you know, our investments? And making sure they didn't go under? And no, we wouldn't. We'd be thinking about making sure we were right before our Heavenly Father. And that's the whole beauty of our hope. The motive that it is for us, the motivation that it is for us to recognize that if we do put diligence into these things, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, that godly walk that we can have, if we do put diligence into that, then when the Lord returns, it's like, wow, we have this glorious entrance into the kingdom. You know, it's almost like the angels, you know, I have this picture of the angels lining up, you know, in standing ovation for you. Come on in. Boy, good job.
Glad to see you.
Yeah. Come on in. Boy, are we got a party planned. Now, those that are born again and never do another thing with it, they walk away completely with it, they're still gathered together. But do they have that kind of entree? It doesn't say that. It says this to those that are diligent in the things of God. They have great reward. They have great, you know, praise. That's the motivation. I mean, I want to make God proud of me, His Son. You know, that I put some effort into taking advantage of the things that He's provided for me. Not because of fear of anything, but because of a desire. Just a desire. You know, fear never... The fear of loss never enters the picture. God never does that to anyone. Not in this administration. It's not a fear of the fires of hell. It's the promise of glory that motivates. So that's what should motivate us. You know, and I just think that 1 Peter is a wonderful book. It finishes up after it takes you through some wonderful things about the prophecy of the Scripture. We have a more sure word of prophecy than God's voice speaking to His only begotten Son, right? Mm-hmm. And how that it's the Scriptures that brings you to know the promises of God. You know, even amidst all the unbelief and these, you know, evil people that reject the Word, it boils down to verse 18 of chapter 3, the very last verse. In light of all that stupid stuff that may happen out there, what's it encourage us to do? Grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, to you and to me, that is our prime daily motive, to grow in grace. Not to grow to, you know, understand it more. I mean, what more do you need to understand? It's God's unmerited divine favor toward you. You don't have to earn it. To grow in it is to see it more and more. See, you'll see it more and more if you put your heart in this place. And this is the great promise of God, that we can grow in grace, in seeing His favor day by day, more and more day by day. If that's what we're focused on, that's what we will see. If we're focused on all this other stuff, negative stuff, worldly stuff, that's what we'll see. We'll be anxious. And you look at the world long enough, and it doesn't take long. Yeah. Just take an hour, look at the world. And you'll be so, you know, bummed out, depressed, frustrated. You'll be praying for the Lord to come back. But that's not God's design. God's design is you focus on My promises. You focus on that relationship that you can have with Me. And all the rest of this stuff means nothing. Boy, it's just you and Me, son. You and Me, daughter. And together as My family, we'll be blessed. So that's what we keep our eyes on. That's what we keep our focus on. All with a goal toward growing in grace and in the knowledge, epignosis. By knowing by experience that we have the power of God resonant within us and we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father that is priceless. All right.